All right, good morning. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. How are you? If my voice sounds a little different, I don't feel well today. I have a cold. I'm not sure if I got it from my son or if I got it from the second vaccine. They all came together about the same time, so I do feel a little cruddy, but I can do this. I got this. So pardon the voice. Sound a little nasally, a little more nasally than I usually do. So it is today's Monday, new week. Happy Easter if you are down with that. Happy Easter. Hope everyone had a great weekend. It was definitely a nice weekend. We had a super awesome Easter, had the kids, pumped them up full of candy. Man, that's a tough one, that candy. But we did it. You know, my wife, she must have bought $200 worth of freaking candy. And, you know, I'm like, that's a lot of candy. That's what it's about. You know, I felt like an old, curmudgeon-y, grumpy old man there for a minute because I don't want to give my kids too much candy, right? It's easy to do on a regular day. I'd like to think of myself as a person that's very considerate of one's health, try to eat well, but we definitely don't do it perfectly. And you know, we had Easter and we gave him a lot of damn candy and not just candy for the day, but like candy for the month. But, you know, I guess it happens only once a year. But I was thinking about it, you know, I think this, you know, this pandemic, we've definitely had a lot of weird changes in our lives, obviously, you know, right down to the fact that, you know, my mom passed away. I wasn't expecting that this year, or, you know, last year, I guess now. But we've seen a lot of changes, and we've, you know, good or bad, you know, it starts to create, for me, a little bit of anxiety and stress, and I do believe that I'm suffering from a little bit of depression. I can only say that maybe it's just from all this, you know, just the changing of our lives, right? Because it has been a big change, a big shift. And, you know, maybe that's depressing. I definitely have kind of lost the wind in my sails, so to speak. I'm very, you know, like, one of the things I'm struggling with a lot lately is napping. I just want to do my job and then just go home and take a nap. I think I've shared about that in this podcast before. I'm trying to, I'd made a decision last week. I said, next week I'm going to change. I got to just get out of it. It's just this weird habit. And then, you know, we got the vaccine on Thursday and I did feel a little crappy, you know, sore, had like flu-like symptoms, just sore and, which is kind of how I feel all the time. My back is always a wreck. My legs from running are a wreck. So I'm constantly achy and sore anyway, but this definitely was, you know, pretty bad. And I took some Advil and it made it go away. So, and it was in my neck and in my head. And but then, you know, today I think I've actually got my freaking kids cold. And so I had a lot of stuff to do this morning and then I just went home and took a nap again, you know, trying to get out of that habit. But today, really justifying it because I just don't feel well. So it was nice, but instead of staying there all day, I got up. And I still had some responsibilities to take care of today, so I wanted to get up. I feel okay. Just, it's in the head. It's in the face. You know, my sinuses. And it's crazy. But, you know, it's one of the things that I struggle with today is being a parent. I'm barely able to keep myself together. I mean, and that's not really a joke. That's serious. I mean, it's, you know, it may seem like it's all happening correctly, or it may seem like I have it all together, but it is, it's tough to kind of navigate this life. And then to throw some kids in there, two boys and a girl, 15, 9, and 8. And of course, that big gap between the 15 and the 9. I mean, the world changed threefold in those few years. So it's almost like, you know, when I was, you know, when I was growing up, me and my brother, we were a year apart. So basically everything that he went through or I went through, we kind of went through together. But not much was changing back then. I mean, you know, cars looked a little different, you know, vehicles kind of upgraded, city buses, gas stations kind of changed through the years, but not really, you know, I remember it was always the big, the project to how much TV can we get? So whether it was this, I don't know, I remember my dad came home with this weird fucking coffee can and a wire in the back that had been soldered and you hooked it up and if you pointed it in the right direction, you might get like a half-ass movie or a some nudity or something. It was like, you know, this always after more television. And then I remember the cable showed up and we had that big box. And so that in that realm, things were changing. But for the most part, life was life. And as soon as electronics showed up, I feel like we just are leaps and bounds. Like, so much so that, like, my son didn't have an iPad, my older boy, my younger son does. My older son doesn't, he has no desire to look at an iPad. My younger boy carries the thing around like he's a waiter. Everywhere he goes, you know, in the bathroom, in the car, it's always connected to that iPad. And my older son is, he has no interest. He does have a phone, and he is, he's connected. It's just in the years, But, you know, take away the age difference. There's not much more, and, you know, obviously experience, but there's not much more I know that makes me really the great leader of this group. You know, I guess I'm taller than them. I'm not taller than my older one. He's taller than me. So, you know, it's easy, you know, take a shower, have your dinner, but the rest of it is tough. And I want to be a good dad, you know. I want to do the right thing. I have unfortunately not been a great husband in the past, so unfortunately we have a blended family today. My youngest son Sam, Teresa, my daughter's with us all the time. My youngest son Sam comes back and forth every week, and then my older son David's with us all week, all the time. But Sam, you know, is back and forth. And he's the one that I worry about. And he has a great mom. His mom is terrific, and she does a great job with him. And it's not, it has nothing to do with that. It's just life, right? So yesterday I was like, you know, still feeling, you know, kind of like garbage. You know, we got up early and, you know, we did all of our Easter stuff and then we went down to the boardwalk down to the beach and had breakfast. My older boy was working on Easter, so we went and had breakfast at his work and hung out with him. And then went over to a great little store down on the boardwalk called Browsabout. And I've been looking for this Fourth Turning book from... if anybody wants to check out a great podcast, not a podcast, a great YouTube video, YouTuber, his name is Van Neistat, and he's doing The Spirited Man. I freaking love this guy. The Spirited, he goes, this Spirited Man. And the definition of a Spirited Man, and I don't know exactly the definition, but for the most part, it's just a person that wants to take on the day, take control of their life, control their destiny to the best of their ability. Just, you know, start every day and do the best you can and just be full of spirit, right? And I just love his podcast. So check it out. His name is Van Neistat. I think it's called The Spirited Man. But this past, his past one, he talked about this fourth turning and how we're in the crisis and we live in these 80-year blocks of time, sort of, kind of, it's really the lifespan of a human average. And I'm just, you know, it's just crazy. You have to check it out. I'll screw it up trying to explain it. But I ordered the book, but I wanted to go try and see if I could buy it locally, just to, you know, if I could find it there, I'd have bought it anyway and maybe given it as a gift to somebody. But I couldn't. They didn't have it. And I tried. But so we had a great, you know, a great morning. Then we came home, and then we went to my in-laws and had dinner. And but the problem is, like, at my age and at my son's age, I feel like I'm just bothered. You know, I feel like I come off as just bothered. And, you know, he's always like, can we kick the soccer ball? Can we throw the football? Can we do this? Can we do that? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I'm like, okay. You know, and I'm falling into this grumpy old pit. So we got home last night, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I should just go out and see if Sam wants to throw the football. And we did, and had a lot of fun. But this generation, my son's generation, is, you know, he wants to practice catching the football one-handed. You know, because of Odell Beckham or, you know, these NFL stars. The glory. He really is concerned about the glory and has not a lot of interest in doing the work that gets you to the glory. You know, and it reminds me of myself. My other son, David, who is, he is an awesome boy, but he's not a lot like me. He's much different. And, you know, he's not about the glory. He's not about the look. David doesn't really care how he looks. Where Sam, you know, he likes to have the Adidas pants and the shoes and the stripes and the hair. And he's very, you know, that TikTok, Instagram, not as much Facebook. But, you know, those social sites, he's very into the impression that he's given off. And he wanted to practice catching with one hand. And I'm like, dude, let's try catching. You know, because first of all, you never could catch it with one hand. I mean, I think it might have happened a couple times. And, of course, if that happens, that means it is possible. But I'm like, you know, why don't we focus on catching the football? Because, number one, playing or throwing the football with him is not a lot of fun because he wants me to throw these long bombs. He wants to try to catch them one-handed. He never catches them. And then he throws it back, and it's always to the left. And I'm having to run around chasing this damn ball. I'm like, why don't you come up here? Come, you know, get within 10 feet of me. Let me just throw it to you. Try catching the freaking ball. And so we started doing this, you know, if he catches five, then he can run a route, you know, and the route is the holy grail, the big win. And so we practiced it, and then we would run the route, and there would be the perfect pass, and he would miss it. And I was just like, I mean, I'm glad I did it, but it's a trip, man. And so we had a lot of fun. Finally ended up sitting down for the night. And then we got up this morning and I took him. He went to soccer camp for the week. So he doesn't stay there. He goes just during the day. But it was a big deal to him, you know. And I, you know, I'm just grateful. There's days I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I just know that I'm always showing up for those guys and my daughter, Teresa. And, you know, sometimes that is just being a parent, right? I don't think any of us are experts. I can imagine we're all going through this sort of struggle right now of trying to figure out not only balancing my depression, because I have some depression over this. I am slightly depressed. So trying to figure out between balancing my depression and then not allowing your kids to get depressed is tough. And if anybody's struggled with depression, you know that when it's, you know, there's nothing can save you at that time. You know, it's like you really got to, I really have to dig in identify the depression. And for me, the seed, excuse me, the seed that kind of creates the depression usually starts with me not getting something that I'm wanting. You know, whether it's to catch the football one-handed, whether it's, you know, that we can not have to wear masks. I think the masks are the seed of depression for me. They've taken the fun out of my job. I love going to the grocery store. I feel like it's taken the fun out of going to the grocery store. Just, it's, for some reason, it's, so the seed is me not getting what I want, which is the masks, and just being kind of free, like going to the boardwalk and not having to wear masks. I think masks are really the seed for my depression. And so I'm just trying to figure that out. I, you know, I think back in my life, early on in my life, and my addiction and my self-centeredness, and just what a waste. What a waste the first half of my life was. I don't know if we can really utilize, because nobody knows what life is going to be like in 20 or 30 years. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. If I only knew now, how was I going to say? If I knew now what I didn't know then, I guess, is that right? Basically, if I was smarter back then, would I have done anything different? You know, I've talked about stretching right now. I'm really into stretching. But I really wish I'd have been, you know, as a kid, I wish I'd have focused on doing a lot of stretching and exercise and focused on diet. I think that I've been told that our body regenerates every 7 years. So you're born, and then 7 years later, your body basically redoes itself. You're almost reborn again with a new body. So, you know, 1 to 7, and then 7 to 14, there's kind of a rebuilding at 14. And then I guess at 21, so to speak, you're kind of, you know, you change again. And then I guess 28, another change. And when I think about this, it kind of makes sense. So 28, and then 35, 42, and then at 50, 49, 50, right around there. And I feel like I'm going through this now. The problem is that when your body rebuilds itself, it takes a, like, it's almost like taking a picture and making a Xerox copy of the picture, and then taking the copy that you made to use as the source for the next picture. And the pixels get a little rougher. The clarity gets a little rougher. And then you take that copy at 7 years and you use that for your next one. So every 7 years, the copy that your body is using to rebuild itself, it gets a little more distorted. That's what I've been told, or that's kind of what I've heard. That was how it was kind of explained to me. It kind of makes sense. I mean, if it was using a perfect copy, then we would just live forever. But it uses a, you know, an older copy, and, you know, the, and I feel like I'm kind of going through one of these changes right now. It's like, you ever like kind of lived life and then you look at your face and you're like, God, my face has kind of changed. You know, I mean, if you look at old people, you know, that's not what they look like as a kid, right? You know, they're young and beautiful and handsome, but we eventually, over 60, 70, 80 years, we become an old person. And, yeah, I just, it's crazy. And I think if I had known, if I had known this when I was a kid, you know, maybe I'd have tried to take better care of myself, I guess. You know, maybe trying to improve the copy. You know, then I'm like, well, what happens if the copy was made like in a period when I was kind of heavy? You know, because I struggle with weight. And everyone around me would say, you do not. But personally, I feel like I do. And I'm kind of stuck in this kind of weird place now, trying to understand how food works in my life, because I don't eat a lot of food. But I'm almost wondering if, like, I'm almost starving. So then I eat more food, then I feel heavier, and then it's just, it's crazy. It's insanity. I'll take the blame. But I'm like, when have I made a copy when I was during my fat period? Now I got extra fat cells. So the point is that I just wish that I could have cared more about myself back in those days than how I feel about myself. First of all, I love that band. What's up, Pearl Jam? What's up? Fucking band played. Oh, my God. They had a concert. Hyde Park, London, 2009, I think. Nugs TV. If anybody out there loves Pearl Jam or loves live music, check out Nugs TV or Nugs.com. And they ran a Hyde Park Pearl Jam concert this week. It was so fucking good. God damn, I love fucking live music. I'm so... Maybe that's my part of my depression. The fact that this band, I haven't been able to go see this band live, is probably a big part of my depression. But I love that message. I have faced it, a life wasted. I am never going back again. I have faced a life wasted. The fucked up part, though, is I didn't know I was wasting my life. I was really living a lovely life, full of me, full of self. Self was at the freaking buffet, just eating his ass up. But that's a miserable existence. It's like fucking Jabba the Tom. Not just with food, with drugs, with, you know, people, you know. Just wasting away my life. Or maybe that was life. I don't even know. Maybe life is serving self. Some of the funnest times I've ever had. But I'm not sure that my life is supposed to be all fun. I've been watching... I'm a big YouTube guy. I love watching YouTube. Just whatever comes my way on YouTube, I love it. And David Goggins, I don't know if anybody knows who David Goggins is. He is a superhuman. He's at a different level. And, you know, he's an inspiration. He really is an inspiration kind of guy. Really, you know, I don't know. If you find that, like, in these YouTube or podcasts, you know, there's kind of a... You know, I started a network of podcasters, social podcast network, because it takes a village in this freaking entertainment world that we're living in, and to, you know, to promote one another, you need friends doing the same things. And, you know, Joe Rogan, he has like this cast of characters and they just kind of branch out. And so if you see David Goggins on one thing, he's probably doing it on another one. And they're all just a network, right? Because that's how it's almost how it has to be. And so I watched, you know, David Goggins on Joe Rogan's podcast. And then he went on this other guy's podcast, or this other guy was on Joe Rogan's podcast talking about his experience with David Goggins and how, you know, they went for a 30-mile run or 35-mile run, which is obviously longer than a marathon, and then came back and lifted weights and then shot a bow and arrow. And they had some video footage of David Goggins lifting weights after the 30-mile run. And, you know, they were just not a lot of weight, 90 pounds or something, but just, you know, burnout reps, just rep after rep after rep after rep. And they got like fucking giant chains hanging on the bars. I mean, these guys are crazy. And, you know, he drops that bar down to his chest. He's like, "You don't know me." Pushes up, "You don't know me." He's just fucking driven beyond any person that I know. And he's like, you know, "Stop being a pussy." He's very, very, very alpha. And I think it's great. The problem with it is, though, is that he's so awesome that and I can't speak for the world, but I know I can't do what he does. I don't even have a desire. I have no desire to run 35 miles, come home, lift weights, and shoot bow and arrows. You know, I ran this morning, I did 5, and we walked a little and we chatted a bit. And it was great to just get out. And we had a good conversation, me and my buddy Brian. And, you know, I love the idea, you know, make the most of it. Do the best you can. Be awesome. Don't give up. But he talks about that suffering. You know, it's not happening unless you're suffering. And I say a lot that you're not living unless you're suffering. But he is like, you know, suffering as in like 35 miles, you know, lifting weights till your arms fall off, shooting bow and arrows. I mean, and I'm like, that grind in the run is where that wall of self-centered fear comes down and you really start to find freedom and peace and serenity. And that's where I start to really live. You know, it's like you open the jail door and I'm free to walk free out and just have a life. But before that, before the suffering, before the running, I live in this kind of a self-centered fear, like I can't do that, or I'm not good enough to do this, or I'm not good. If I do it, it's not going to be good enough, or, you know, I can't run 35 miles, so I'm not going to do it. You know, I get that. He's a great guy, but he's too much for me, and no disrespect to him. He's awesome. But I had to find, you know, if it goes from where I was at to that, I'll never get there. I'm never going to make it. You know, I had to run to the corner, right? And I had to start experiencing that and the evolution of me suffering and the learning that came from it. And I don't know if I was available for any of that as a kid. So sometimes, you know, I beat myself up. I say, I wish I'd have done better when I was younger. I wish I'd have taken better care of myself when I was younger. But I had no idea. Turning 50 was the least thing I was thinking about when I was 19. It seemed forever. Why worry about that? It won't be here for a while. Now I'm 52. And I have some regrets. And you know, all I can do is the best that I can do. Let's do a little reading. Like I said, I apologize if this podcast is a little bizarre. I am a little ill, a little bit ill today. Just a head cold, but I'm still it's a little different. All right, daily reflections. Here we go. I hope everyone had a great Easter. I hope everyone's you know, hanging in there. All right, April 5th, true brotherhood. We have not once sought to be one in a family, to be a friend among friends, to be a worker amongst workers, to be a useful member of society. We have not once sought to be in a family, to be a friend among friends, to be a worker among workers, to be a useful member of society. Always we tried to struggle to the top of the heap and to hide underneath it. This self-centered behavior blocked a partnership relation with any one of those about us. Of true brotherhood, we had small comprehension. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 53. This message contained in step 4 was the first one I heard loud and clear. I hadn't seen myself in print before. Prior to my coming into AA, I knew of no place that could teach me how to become a person among persons. From my very first meeting, I saw people doing just that. I wanted what they had. One of the reasons that I am happy, sober alcoholic today is that I'm learning the most important lesson. That's really awesome. That is it. I don't know if, you know, I talked about when I first came into the program, when I first walked up to the door and that guy was there, you know, welcome, a greeter. You know, I thought, I play no role in this. I have nothing to offer. Yeah, I'm there. I'm greeting people. I'm a worker. I'm a person amongst people. And, you know, I started to learn about that. And it wasn't until I was ready to learn about that. This podcast has run a little long. I hope everyone's having a great day. We'll get it back together. Have a great day. Bye.